All right, fuck it. Let's just let so, you know what? You know what? No, no. You know what? Let's do this shit like
Yeah, go ahead.
Nokore Apparel is a lifestyle brand inspired by and created for those who unabashedly seek, speak, and live in truth. Nokore is the African Adinkra symbol for truthfulness, and the clothes speak truth in all its forms with the ultimate aim of love and justice. If you're down to expand the culture, break barriers, and eradicate injustice wherever you find it, then Nokore Apparel is the brand for you. Go to NokoreApparel.com. That's N-O-K-O-R-E Apparel.com.
Nokore, apparel for truth tellers.
Drunk Mind Sober Thoughts Podcast.
Yo, this is DJ Brainstorm.
So happened when niggas had to start on time,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I blame these not playing. This is DJ Brainstorm on the mic with you right now, coming to you live and direct with episode number 376 of the Drunk Mind Sober Thoughts Podcast. The DMST Podcast is back. Thank y'all for tuning in again this week on YouTube and Facebook, the Duo Podcast. And thank y'all for, you know, dealing with and hanging with us through those little audio issues.
Y'all niggas ain't used to us being on till now, no way.
You know what I'm saying? Usually it's 7 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I wish black people would complain. Where y'all been? 6:15, we early.
Right. And thank you to everybody tuning in throughout the week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, the TuneIn Radio app, iHeart, No Wooshka. Anywhere, wherever, however you get your podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in this week, Playboy. I'm not even gonna mess with you. How you feeling, man?
Yeah. Oh man, what's going on, man? Playboy with a DJ, Playboy with DA DJ. Another week, another show, man. Let's get it.
All right, Dev, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. Ready to have some fun, man. Let's go.
All right, and then if y'all are tuned in online and watching the show live
sir,
this week, we have two special guests this week. We have Ron and Mike this week of Waking Dreams Creations.
Yes, sir.
How y'all doing, man?
We good, man. Yeah.
Okay.
Happy to be here, man.
I'm cooling.
All right.
Yeah,
you know, so we talked about this pre-show, so I'm going to probably be telling y'all how to adjust the mic a little bit or whatever, just so y'all know. I'm not touching y'all mic, though.
Hey, please no.
No Diddy. No Diddy. No Diddy.
Pause now.
Yeah.
No Diddy.
Niggas don't want no lawsuit.
Yeah,
man.
No, not a lawsuit.
Nigga be in the corner. Take that. Hey.
All right, as we always do, we always go around the room and ask people how their week was. So we'll start over here. Mike, how was your week?
Man, week was cool, man. You know, I teach, so kids was bad. But, you know, man, good week overall. Weekend was solid. Got some work done. Okay. You know, can't complain.
All right. Ron, how was your week?
It was decent, man. Long week, you know. Job getting on my nerves, but, you know, it is what it is, man. We got some new changes, but I'll make it work, you know.
Yeah. All right. Playboy, how was your week?
Just some normal shit.
Well, we got
here, man.
For us,
I wish this nigga could talk about his week.
For us, we got 2 weeks.
Do y'all even know a nigga? Y'all got anybody in y'all circle that be having the wildest shit happen, but it's not made for TV?
All the time.
God damn. Look, anonymously, one day, just tell a story. Don't say it was you, and just tell the story.
It's like on R&B Money. They tell this thing at the end of every show. That's like, it's a story. It's either... It's fucked up. Oh, no, it's funny or fucked up, but they can't say no names. It's called I Ain't Saying No Names.
God damn.
Listen, I want to reiterate.
Nigga, man.
That's how you know it's about to
that reiterate. Nigga, using reiterate.
None of this is a question of my character. Okay. Just put that out there. Just want to say that. But my week was cool, man. You know, it was just...
This thing is wild, man.
Some cool shit. You know
oh,
what I mean?
God.
Cool shit.
Oh, my God.
Dev, how was your week?
Dev, how was your week? Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, my week was, yeah, man. It was all right. Work-wise was cool, but I had a cool weekend, man. I always take long on my little week, man. But I had a, I went to this, what's this, is me?
No, it's Evans over here.
Oh, I thought that was me.
You know how it be when you open up the phone sometimes. Yeah.
But I had this coach's clinic to go to, Glazer Coach's Clinic, man, in Pittsburgh. It was cool.
Yeah.
I took the family with me. So it was, I knew it was going to be a lot of info, but I didn't know what it was going to
be. Like, I didn't know how many college coaches was going to be there. Like, it was like a lot of, you know what I mean? It was like the shit, you talking to offensive coordinators from Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And like, I went to the first session with Ron Crookie, the O-line coach of Virginia Tech, and just getting the info from, you know, from him on how he, you know, how he run his practices, what he tell his offensive line and shit like that. It was a 3-hour session and shit. But, I started realizing how some coaches probably don't excel. There's some niggas in there on their phone, not paying attention.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, y'all niggas tripping. I'm trying to have the best O-line in the country. So, fuck it. But it was a lot of good info, man. So, a whole lot of good info. The one thing I do got to say, though, shout out to Deidre and a lot of the female listeners that be listening in. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking to you. Shout out to Candy and, you know, our homie Ulysse, they be out here looking and I was responsible. I took my wife and my daughter with me. Okay. When I tell you ladies, if y'all want to find a nigga, it was thousands of niggas. This hotel, it was a Sheraton in Pittsburgh where we stayed and the conference was there. When I tell you Leah was like, I need to tell all my friends to find these clinics and follow them around the country. Ladies, if y'all want to know where the niggas is at, I don't know. Find coaches clinics. Either them or Diddy, somebody need to follow these.
Come on, man.
I'm just saying it was a lot. It was just a crazy. It was cool. It was cool as fuck though. But it was a lot of. Usually when I travel, like you ever travel with your wife, it's either a lot of families or it's usually way more women than men traveling in it. Mm-hmm. It was weird. It was a bunch of niggas my size. It was a weird ass. Leah and McKenzie looked out of place. Like, they was timid and shit. Like my daughter, like, where do I just go to the room, sweetie? This whole shit ain't got nothing to do with you. So it was, ladies, if y'all looking for a man, I guess, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'll get y'all the info. You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to go to the next Glazier clinic because it was like thousands of coaches, man. It was dope shit though, man. It was real dope.
It was college too.
It was college and high school coaches, okay. And then the position coaches and O coordinators and some head coaches was holding seminars, and they was holding them for like Friday it was from like 5 o'clock to 11. Uh-huh. They had them in like 20 different conference rooms, and then throughout the day from like 8 a.m. on Saturday to 6 o'clock on Saturday, and then today from 8 to noon.
Okay,
they had them, and they was running in like 45-minute segments. So it was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're talking about 100 coaches damn near, like, every 2 hours. It was crazy, man. Right. Like, running sessions, not in the – so you have, like, 100 different coaches having sessions, and you might have 150 of us in a conference room. Mm. It was crazy, man. I expected it to be big, but not that big. Mm-hmm. I saw – shout out to Coach Culliver, our old coach at Shaw. He was there. He coached at Youngstown East. He brought his whole staff. I saw one of my teammates from college. He coached in Mercyhurst Prep in Erie, where we went to college at Gannon. So it was cool. Ran into a couple people, but it was a cool time, man.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Hold on, real quick. Fuck that. That was this week. This nigga don't like to tell the stories about the tragedies in his life.
He shut up.
Let's go back 2 weeks to why we really didn't have a show last week.
Yeah.
So my black ass, okay, yeah. I love the kids. So we decided to throw a sneaker ball. We got to talk about y'all week last week, too, though, because y'all had a dope event. You know what I'm saying? And we'll double back to them in a minute, talk about the event
second
last
sneaker
week.
Ball, because, you know, I did last
year. Yeah, he
year,
did so, last year. Yeah, so we kept it in-house. Oh, we got our deans from the V-Prep. They DJ and have a photo booth. So we use, shout out to Shelton and Mr. B. So we use them this year. So sneaker ball was perfect, man. No issues. I took dope pictures with my cell phone. It was cool, man. Like, we about halfway through the eighth grade. No, we were a little bit over halfway through. I'm sitting out by the door because, you know, I'm catching all the kids. They come in and take pictures by the thing. One of the kids come running in into the out from the dance into the lobby, and they're like, they out there stealing a silver Kia, a SUV. And so we were just going to, like, go look. I get halfway through the gym. They like, no, they're stealing a red one. I said, oh, shit. Nigga, mine red. Well, I
code 11,
you,
code 11. Take the locks off the doors.
So shout out to my nigga Hines, my nigga Zayman. So me and Hines, we run into the door. I swear to God, man, this is the most, I will never forget this view. And Leah killed me. Leah killed me with this. And Leah thinks she's funny. She is funny though. She killed me with this one. We cracked the door open to the gym. As we open the door, them niggas is peeling out of the parking lot in my motherfucking car, man.
Damn.
Man. She said we was in that bitch like Bad Boys and them niggas that's one scene with them niggas still up. Like they got the diamonds. She was thinking she played. She played me. But we was though. We both, that nigga light skin, I'm dark skin. We both looking. But I'm looking over that nigga's shoulder. I'm looking over that nigga's shoulder as they drive, take my car away. Damn. But so I had to.
Oh, you mean when they were shaking? Yeah. The
door. That the iconic scene.
Oh, when he gonna pull him out the.
When they got on wife beaters and shit, and they, I'm like, okay, you got
Martin's
me.
Like,
oh, yeah. Leah, like they got the diamonds. I'm like, okay, you think you funny, nigga? But but all them niggas stole my shit, man. So we oh of course it's like 7:50. I call the police. We on 93rd and Union. Of course, it's 9 o'clock. Oh, them man. Niggas ain't come. Leah came up. She got up there about 8:30. She came straight up there. So we sat for about a half hour. They ain't come. We just had to drove to 4th District. They ain't come out the back till like 10 o'clock. Still hadn't made it to the school yet. We filed a police report. But then they ended up finding my shit the next morning in the backyard of a fucking Kia Boy stash house. Like, the lady across the street saw this abandoned house, had these little kids, like these 14-year-old niggas dropping off cars. And she's like, don't nobody live there. So she called the police. They went back there, found my car, called me. But I guess they like opened up one of the garages and found some other car in there. And so the dumbass police didn't close the garage back. So they took the police car, parked down the street to like stake out the niggas and called all the people whose cars was back there. So they couldn't leave the scene because they was had to be there for when we arrived to get our cars. So I guess the little niggas came back, saw the garage door open and took like 3 cars. But luckily mine was stuck in the mud. So they had backed mine into the grass, and my shit was stuck in the mud, like it was stuck in the snow. So I go back there, it's tire tracks, and my shit dug in the mud. They had to help me push the shit out. They had like fucked up the front a little bit, and they like the headlight, and then the bumper and the rear bumper, bust the window out, buff pop the column, shit like that. So I got it. I had to start that bitch with some pliers. Drove it home. Next day, took that bitch to the body shop, and it's been there ever since. But I'm about to. Hopefully, I think I'm gonna be able to pick a car up tomorrow. So, trading that bitch in. That bitch got to go.
Then I thought about, real quick, hold on. I thought about that live stream, love and hate.
Oh, man. I can't go nowhere.
Yeah, man, they fucked my shit up, man. But I'm trading that shit in, man. So hopefully I get it.
In front of the police station. Yeah. They broke it down.
So they,
where's the justice? Man. Where's the peace?
But no, man, they fucked my shit up, man. But yeah, we trading that bitch in. But shout out to, I don't know if this is ethical, but shout out to Honda and Bedford. They like, we'll take your trade in even with it still being in the shop. I said, well, all right.
Yeah.
So I just got to sign the title and shit over them tomorrow and hopefully finish all the paperwork. And I'm driving off the lot with a new car tomorrow.
I will say, you had called me on Sunday when you was like, I think it was when you said you probably weren't going to make it or whatever.
Oh, that was Thursday.
Oh, that was Thursday.
I was supposed to, come up here and do a show, but I had to. I had called them niggas because I'm thinking they needed my car.
Yeah.
But I had just clicked on my, I got approved through Capital One. I just clicked like check availability. Them niggas called me like, hey, can you come in at 5? Yeah. Nigga, fuck are you talking about?
Right. No, even so on Sunday. Even on Sunday when you had called
Sunday.
I was sitting there thinking to myself on Sunday like, man, it's fucked up that you got somebody sitting here doing something for kids in the hood or whatever. And while you in there doing something for kids in the hood, niggas out here stealing your car. Yeah.
It's the price you pay on 93rd and Union, man. You know what I'm saying?
What you say all the time, number streets.
Number streets, nigga. Anywhere you on a number street in Cleveland, brother, you are taking a risk with your life. A erd or a stuh or a thuh is at the end of that street.
Or a stuh.
Stuh. You taking a risk with your life. But it is what it is, man. But for real, I'm glad we didn't get out there sooner because I'm sure they came strapped. I'm sure they ain't come steal that car with butter knives.
I don't know, man. I mean, they always be looking like they real, like, young stupid ass,
ass niggas gonna shoot big ass 6'5" 350-pound niggas.
They got pistols.
Yeah, I'm 6'5" 350. They ain't them niggas that about to squabble. Teach a man how to squabble. Them niggas be shooting first, asking questions. Right. Never.
Yeah, yeah,
whatever. Got it back. Getting it fixed. Getting a new car, man. I ain't worried about it.
Dev has got to be the most relaxed individual when it comes to a stressful situation.
Yeah.
Nigga, y'all it was the same window. It was the same Houston window. Same
y'all have no
window.
Idea. So we go to Houston, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
For one of my homies' podcast event. He used to do the show with us the first 2 years. And our rental gets broken, too. I'm outside heated. I mean, now.
This nigga like, they stole one of our bags. He like, you see any nigga walking down the street?
Right.
I mean, that nigga gonna be a thief.
No, you don't understand. This nigga was pacing back and forth like.
No, I was heated, man. I was mad.
Dude, at this point, I'm drunk, and I'm thinking the Houston PD got to come to the scene. So I'm like, namaste, motherfucker. They gonna arrest
this
me.
This nigga Dev is in the driver's side just like this.
Yeah. I'm gonna just call these people and I'm gonna get this done. I'm here on the phone, like, okay, I'll hold. And I'm the guy, nigga, what? Nigga, what? Check his bag.
Well, I'm like, at this point, it is what it is. But yeah, if I had to, we had to drive around Houston that whole weekend with the back window busted. So they had no,
they had no other runner to replace it. Yep. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, man.
Life and Tales of DMST.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, so I'll real quick. But yeah.
Let's talk. How, y'all had the paint sip last weekend, though.
Yeah, we did the Trap and Paint. Trap and Paint down in Captivate. Yeah. Every last Saturday of the month.
How it go, man?
It was a good time, man. We did the Paid in Full piece, Born in Love. Got the joint coming up March 30th, the next one. For March Madness, we're going to do the Love and Basketball piece. Yeah, it should be the biggest one yet. Yeah. Should be a good time.
So y'all trapping paint.
Yeah.
Do y'all... See, I've never been to like any of those sipping paints or anything like that. So it's like y'all pretty much have the theme when people come in, right?
Yep. Okay. Got the canvases set out already. Okay. They pre-sketched. You know, so if you're feeling bold, you know, we got some blanks back there if you want to get busy. But DJ in there got the hits going, drinks flowing. You know, this is a good time. I'm on stage like painting the little examples and things like that, walking around helping people out. It's just a good time, good kick it.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Good vibe. It's always a good vibe. It's always like. Sell out usually, don't always. So you know,
you can,
cool.
You can actually slide it over,
like, okay?
Because it's yeah,
got you. Now, now we in there.
Now we in there.
Like, if you really ain't hearing yourself good here, you probably ain't gonna be picking up good on the record.
Yeah, I got
you. So y'all are Waking Dreams Creations,
yeah.
So let us know what Waking Dreams Creations is.
All right, cool. So, Waking Dream, started in 2016. Really started the company after when my grandmother passed away. But it was like, I always been drawn, like since I was a little kid. But when she passed, it kind of hit different. So, you know, I just started drawing a whole bunch of like shit that made me happy, like shit from the 90s and shit I grew up with, nostalgic stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, not even for business purposes, just drawing just to keep my mind off of it. Shit, people start rocking with it.
Yeah.
And then, it went up from there. The name, you know, just came from my grandmother's always in the dreams. Like as a kid, I remember she had the dream books and all those, you know, numbers and dreams and what shit really meant, all that type of stuff. So that kind of was passed down to me. So that's where the name come from. But yeah, just a bunch of 90s, man. Like
stuff we grew up on.
Fun shit, you know. Yeah. Shit, when you see it, you be like, damn, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like just give you that good feeling, you know.
Yeah. And always been, it's been crazy to me how, I mean, I was just the shape of the. You gotta be this. I don't know. It's weird. It captures the emotion, but it's no facial. How the hell does that happen, man? Like there's, it's only the outline of the face, but it's like you capture
you're
the emotion
about the stuff
of
the, they have here.
Yeah, like the pictures that he draws. You know what I'm saying? Like you can still. I don't know, man. How is that done? It's
man,
weird.
And I don't know, man. Something in our brain, man, that when we seen it as kids or teenagers,
we must just put it on
there. It's
just
locked in.
Yeah.
You know, so when we see it, it's just like, damn, I remember that scene. I remember where I was when I seen it. Mm-hmm. Or if it's an album cover, I remember where I was when I heard it.
Yeah.
You know, riding in the car, going wherever you going, you know, as a kid, listening to 93.1.
Yeah.
You know, just like those the albums I'm doing. Those the movies I'm doing. Shit that like, you know. Mm. Just better times, you know, better times.
And not to get too crazy deep, but yeah, I think, but I know, I don't know. Maybe you did. Niggas don't want to give niggas credit. Like maybe you ain't know how you was doing this, but maybe you did know. But no, it's almost like it forces our brain to connect with the piece.
Yeah.
Because we know what it is, it forces us to like, it's like you almost drawn to it more. Like I can see Arsenio and Eddie Murphy's face on there when I see it. And I know that scene. I know that shot behind Mo. You know what I'm like? I know it. You know what I'm saying? So it's weird. It forces you to interact with it.
Yeah.
As opposed to just look at it. You know what I'm saying? Is that the sound crazy?
Man, I remember the one of the first times we had set up and sold. We was at Edgewater.
Yep.
And man, I might have took shit. Man, we had a table. We ain't even had no tablecloth. Mm-hmm. Like we had to set up. I might have had about 6-7 pictures up there.
Yeah.
Barely that. And a lady came up, she looked, and she started crying.
Damn.
And we standing there like,
what the
fuck? Like, exactly, man, what the hell did I do? Like, what's going on? Right. I'm like, damn, what? Right. She looking at this, it was a Love Jones piece. Mm-hmm. And she's sitting, and the shit looked terrible. Now looking back at the piece was shitty. Like, I done got a lot better since then. Shit was terrible. So she's standing there crying, like real tears. Mm-hmm. And she left, went, got her husband, came back. She like, look at this. He like, oh man. I'm like, man, what's going on? Y'all gotta clue me in. Like, what's up? She like, man, this was the movie we went on our first date.
Oh, that's dope.
And it was just like, and that's when I knew. I looked at this and I was like, nigga,
we got something. We got something.
Because it's like, man, when you could pull that out of somebody just by, you know, a picture, like it was just like, okay, damn.
Man, that's
we on
to
something.
That's when you know you got a purpose, man.
Yeah.
At that moment, you probably was like, you know, y'all probably was like, damn, I know what my purpose is.
And that's just, you know, stuff that I liked.
Yeah.
You know, so then it dove into, you know, like, can I get this family member or this moment? Can you do my wedding picture? Can you do this idea for my Christmas card? Like, all types of stuff. So it just, you know, went from there. And then, you know, he stayed feeding me ideas, you know, to get busy from his movies and shows and all that type of stuff. So, yeah.
So for everybody that's still watching the feed, we do have artwork on display behind us. Well, we have, what, one, two, three? Just what, the three pieces?
No, one. We got the two on the wall. We always got it.
Oh, wait, and then obviously the two on the wall, we have two. Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
I first seen the Nip in the big, when he was talking, when Dan was talking, I'm like, damn, he's cold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
That took me back. I ain't gonna even lie.
Seeing the Ready to Die?
Yeah, I was like, damn, I remember when that first came out.
It's like, crazy. I'm telling you, it forces you to interact with it. You start thinking, you get like three or four thoughts every single time you look at it. Because I do, I remember beefing with everybody on the street. Because everybody was trying to tell me Biggie wasn't cold. And I stood on that shit. I was standing on business in 1995.
Black History
First nigga to stand on business. Them niggas had to tell me Juicy wasn't the shit. I'm like, nigga, this them niggas was East Cleveland at that point. It was Bodit and nothing else. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. What y'all talking about? This shit hard as fuck. This was either summer 94, summer 95 in that little range. We wasn't numbers of 12, 13 year olds. We young niggas. We don't know better, no way. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I don't know what this fat nigga is from Brooklyn, but this nigga hard. And that nigga, I remember fighting tooth and nail for Biggie in the heart of East Cleveland in the 90s. That's crazy, man. Yeah, man. That shit made me think about that every time.
What I think about this, like the dope shit about like the pieces that y'all do, even brought up here, it's like y'all were saying, it's like it evokes emotion, but it connects with people like us. And I don't think art feels like that.
Oh, I need that.
That far out thing, in a sense, with art, especially people that like you hear the rappers talk about art, like people that's on different levels, Jay-Z and them talking about the Basquiat's and stuff like that, or whatever. Yeah. Like, and that shit feels so far out. And I know just recently Alicia Keys and Swiss did something out in New York, like their own art collection they put somewhere. I saw in the news or whatever. But it's like, it doesn't feel relatable to us in a sense. That's why I kind of like Mocha downtown, where they do like different like displays and stuff every so often, where it's like it pulls people, your regular person, like the nigga that's from East Cleveland that's like that probably ain't thinking about art, it pulls you in or something like that. So that's why I feel like with some of your pieces, it's relatable to like the normal person that for us where we grew up at.
That's
And
that's
so
fire.
Do y'all set that's out fire. To do it in a sense that way?
That's what it was, man. Like when I tell you, it was like
that's fire
stuff that like make me happy. Because it's like, man, you know, I don't even feel comfortable calling myself an artist. Like, I'm just a nigga that like to draw. and like, I like 90s shit. I like shit to make people smile, man, and feel good.
That's dope.
So it's just like, man, like I said, when my grandmother passed, that's what I was, the feeling I was looking for. Like, I wanted to be like, man, I needed to go back and feel good. So I was like, man, let me draw this Martin scene. Let me draw him, you know, wrestling. This ain't no damn puppy. Let me, you know, let me draw this, man, because... You know, this shit makes me feel good.
Damn, man, that's crazy. Like, I never knew that was the motivation behind you doing it, man. I know we had talked about it a little bit before.
Hey, I'm sorry, Dan.
Go ahead. What's up? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, but I said, can you go back to that?
And are you sharing
paid in these, full one?
You putting them out there too? Yeah. Okay.
The one with
the Cleveland gear on.
No, not that one.
That was the one he just did from the.
The one right there.
Yeah. That's the one they just did.
That's the one we got. We got in here.
It's over there somewhere. Yeah, that's the one I did at the last trapping paint too.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, that was hard.
That's my favorite
damn,
movie.
That is Paid in Full.
Yeah.
I was looking at it because we were trying to figure out what to put. I wasn't even paying attention to it. Yeah, that is Paid in Full.
Yeah, we should have put that behind us. Yeah.
That's the like fun like part of it, though, is when you see it, you know, like it makes you think like, I know that scene.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
Every time.
We done been to shows and stuff to where, like, people come up and literally for probably, like, 25 minutes come up going through the little, like, like the book, like, okay. So, you know, but, yeah, but that's the, like, fun part of it, though. Yeah. And I remember it was the weekend of All-Star Weekend here, here in Cleveland. And it was people from, you know, throughout the, like, country coming up. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think it was some dudes from like, Cali or something.
Yep.
That, like, you had shipped some stuff out.
Yeah, the white
dudes. And, like, they came in, like, bought, like, four or five, like, pieces or something.
Yeah, they bought a whole bunch.
Yeah, so just the fact that, like, he's, you know, like, reaching people throughout the country, though, like, too, is just, like, crazy.
This was the first one that got me. This was the first one that got me when I first started.
See, Lauryn Hill is my senior year. I remember us sitting. So you talking about connecting with a moment. I remember the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill being out, and it was probably, I don't know if it was like right at the end of junior year, you know, when you could start going up on the senior lounge, or if it was actually in the senior year. But I remember us sitting there playing that, and the Nothing Even Matters is on. It was playing in the court one day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the part comes in there, no, just repossess my 4x4. But when it got to that part, everybody was like, it was one of those like organic moments. Everybody was like, don't you touch my 4x4 or whatever. Like, it's like everybody said the same shit at the same time. It's like a connection to. So seeing that would put me in that moment in Corp Lounge, senior year, sitting up there in that one moment. Like you said, that connection is unmatched, though.
Yeah. I'm looking at the whole, these pieces. The first thing that comes to mind, and I know it ain't, it's the passion that y'all have for this, number one. But it's great marketing. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if I was to walk inside your gallery, I'm not leaving with just one piece.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
I'm going to be like, oh, shit, I want that. Going on as far as different scenes and different stuff, man. That's super dope.
Fire, man.
Most people don't. When they come in, like, you know, they going to leave with three or four.
That's fire.
That's another thing, though, because, like I said, Paint in Full, my favorite movie. And I like to look at myself like Ace, man. Like, I said, like, I don't charge a lot for my pieces. I don't. Because I want them to, like, go to people that, you know, I want people to have them.
Right, you know.
So it's like, man, you know, I understand it's a business, but at the same time, I'm like, man, if you need this piece, you need it.
Yeah.
So, like, let's go. You know,
I got to get something for my man cave.
Yeah, that Marvin Gaye one dope, too.
But no, you had said, like,
Lester Jenkins.
Yo, is that Lester Jenkins? No, that's for real? That's a painter?
No.
I'll pick that up.
That boy good.
Now, nigga, why would I paint Lester Jenkins?
Smiling.
The one nigga I choose to draw a face on is
Lester Jenkins.
Oh, man.
I ain't gonna
lie.
That's
hard, too. The Leah dope.
That's hard, man.
That's dope.
Nah, thanks, man.
Especially over there where I got my DJ stuff set up in the basement. I might have to get a couple of the music things or whatever. Y'all got any different world stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got some different world. I got a,
Ron and Dwayne.
Yeah, I got Ron and Dwayne when they was in jail. When he got in the fight with the college team, the homecoming.
Okay.
And then one of my customers ended up going to a different world event and passing the pick on to Ron. Mm-hmm. Like, so Ron got the pick. Like, she gave him the picture. So it was super dope.
They about to go on tour.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him at what, like a HBCU type of thing?
HBCU tour.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I really think this is really dope. Again, the connection that people can make. I mean, I know so much of this shit like right away. That the Michael Jackson Bad, the Brandy album up there, the Bobby Brown right there.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Click on the drawing, man, with my granny.
The little next to Anita.
Right here?
Yeah. So look, man, when my grandma passed, right? She had this in her drawer next to the bed. I gave her this when I was in first grade. And I was looking at the pictures, man, like, because she used to be, you know, she used to think it was the best shit ever.
Yeah.
When I'm looking at this, like, man.
Wow. That's dope.
Yeah. Bro. That's her in the background right there. Man, that was like, I'm like, damn, I got to do this for her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she kept it for what? That was shit. 35 years?
That's fine. I never knew that was the most. It's crazy not to whatever, but it makes me think about. Like, I talked to you about this at school before, man. Like, when my father had passed back in 2020, like, I have never drawn. I'm like, I did the DMST Studios. It looks okay. I had never done anything as dope as the Cardinal on the wall, and I freehanded the mother. It was, my father was an artist, and it was almost like, it was so therapeutic. But after I finished it, I can't even explain it. It was like, all right, let's finish the rest of the studio. It was just so therapeutic, though, man, but I don't know where it came from. I don't know how. I'm like doing the curve and the curve. I'm like, I don't know how the fuck I'm getting this right. I don't know how I'm getting this shit right. But sometimes it'd be therapeutic, man. And I don't know.
All the time.
Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't know that's where you got that motivation from. That's crazy, man. Yep. Yeah,
stuff. Like you say, man, sometimes unfortunate situations inspire you to do stuff that you didn't even know you could do, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what is something that y'all would like the people to know that they may not know about your space or anything like that? Like, or art in general? Like is it something like do you look at art and think wish that more people appreciated it more or anything like that? Or like looked at it the way y'all look at it in a sense?
Oh, well, yeah, because like Reed just said, man, it's therapeutic. Like it really relaxes me, and I use it in my classroom. You know, I let my kids draw, they doodle, you know, because it calms you down. And like really, as far as the space, it should be open at the end of this month. You know, trying to do like the little game nights, 90s nights, movie nights, kind of intimate setting, like, you know, no more than about 30, 40 people at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, just keeping it cool. But we'll be open soon, 185th, 678, 185th. But yeah, man, I'm just ready, man. Just want more people to, you know, tap in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because it's like I got something for everybody. Everybody.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
Is that Varnell Hill?
Man, you know.
It's like a Mark Montage. You know, yeah. Dope, Mark
Collage right there.
So you know we got to talk about that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I knew it was coming.
Man, no, man. Like, man.
Is that the people see this?
My favorite.
Yeah, I put it.
Like, my favorite moment since I've been doing this, man, was like Martin's Camp reached out and wanted me to do a piece for the 30th anniversary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, oh, man. Wow. I thought, and look, this was, I had just blew my knee out at the school, blew it out, had a brace on from my hip to my ankle, couldn't walk. So dude hit up like, yeah, the event is in 2 weeks in Hollywood. Like, we need you to come out here and do this piece or whatever. I'm like, and I wasn't going to go because I was in a messed up state because I couldn't walk. You know, I'm just stressed out, depressed, mad. You know, call him, call one of my sons. They like, man, we gotta go. You know what I mean? You can't pass this up.
Yeah.
You know, so I put together the piece, man. Me and him hopped on a plane, went to Cali, man, and it was like it was surreal, man. Like, you know, we just like chilling with like kid and like just like Tommy Davidson.
That's
like,
crazy.
It was just like we in there like, man, this
is this the thing
dope.
That was on HBO, that thing, or
it was
or,
on yeah.
It was, yeah.
The little reunion thing.
So like, okay. Man, it was dope, man. Just man, a good time, man. A great time.
I still like think about it, you know, because we, you know, Martin, you know, like that's the GOAT to me.
Yeah.
So just like going there, and I tell him like, you know, bro, I appreciate you for that, because I mean that was literally like a like dream come true. I mean it's like crazy that he was able to do what he does now and be out there in like Hollywood. With like some of the GOATs, man, and it was just a vibe,
time. And everybody
and
was cool.
That I was about to say, everybody was just cool, man. It wasn't on no like celebrity type like shit. It was just on some like cool stuff, man.
Wow, that's dope.
And man, I'm out there in that bitch on crutches,
kicking it down,
crutches in a suit. Hey. But yeah, it was a good time, man. Good time.
You do what you got to do. That's dope.
So y'all got a brick and mortar spot coming, obviously.
Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit more. The brick and mortar spot.
Yeah. So obviously it's gonna have the art hanging up on the walls. Also with other artists, you know, other local artists gonna have their stuff in there.
Yeah.
But like outside of just the art, you know, I just wanted to be like a spot to come in and chill and play. Reed came up in there. I got the NBA Jam arcade in there. Like when you walk in, I just wanted to be like, like damn, man, I feel like I'm back at granny house, man. I'm at auntie house. Like, man, let me just sit down and chill.
Yeah. You know, you gotta talk a little bit about pod and R&B, man.
That's the next thing.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it's there for like, you know, if you want to do like an after work mixer, a little events, you know, like I said, other artists, poets, things like that, you know, just tap in and have that space available.
Yeah.
Just to do some like some dope, cool stuff.
Yeah.
Do you got any pictures of I'm gonna go back a little bit. Do you got any pictures of when you was out there on crutches?
Yeah.
You should paint a picture of that.
Yeah. No, I should,
like,
man.
An inspiration.
Yeah.
Like, put up, like, in your house or something to be like, this is when I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for real.
That's some shit that I probably wasn't in the position.
We was at Roscoe's right there. We was at Roscoe's. Look at the brace. At Roscoe's, man.
Who the one, you got the one where we were sitting on the couch, on the, like, Martin couch?
Yeah, that one at the top. I think that one at the top.
Like all the way
at
the top.
Yeah, at the top. I had to pin that one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right. But yeah, like, man, we was in the room. We got to sit on the couch. Right, like,
there, in the middle. Oh, yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, like.
The green leather. Yeah, that's a dope experience, man.
That's super dope, man.
That's a really dope experience,
that
was a good man.
Time. That's really cool, man. Mm-hmm. For real.
Time. I'm jealous of it, man. Yeah. But it's like, but you know, when you kind of true to yourself and you're doing something that's a passion of yours, I think good things are going to come out. I think a lot of times when you're doing stuff, sometimes it's like even with us doing this pod, you know, when you're doing stuff sometimes and you focused on the outside perception of what people are going to think it's going to be or how they're going to receive it at sometimes.
Right.
And a lot of times it's not really about that in a sense. Mm-hmm. It's about if you put your all into it and you do it the way you're supposed to do it, then you got to kind of block out everything else. The people will come. The other things will come, when it comes, especially if you got the talent and things like that. That shit will come.
It will.
You know, but so to me, it's like you put your focus on what you're supposed to be doing and things like that, man. And I think it always, you know, works out and evens out in the end. Mm-hmm. That's dope. So I'll let you talk about the pod and R&B because Dev came up here one day. We come up here to do a show on a Sunday. He like, man, I got the spot.
No, because we got to, because it's other nostalgia. Like, what we do, pod and R&B, it's the people
who probably explain.
Yeah, the people who listening, the people who listening have
that's been there. They know.
Either been or heard us talk about it every time we have an event. We've been doing it for like a year and a half now, but it's like the way it marries together is crazy. So like we all pick three songs a piece, and we the songs that we pick are gonna have some kind of conversation topic to it. You know what I'm saying? So. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like They Don't Know by John B. You know what I'm saying? And we play the song, and then right after the song, we got a host in the crowd. Our homie Candy is going to be doing a hosting. But the people in the crowd interact with us, and we talk about keeping your friends out your relationship business. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then the conversation it's a cool conversation. It might get a little heated. It might get funny. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then so have 3, 4, 5 songs in. It's a sing-along with the crowd to the songs we playing. Yeah. And then the interaction is crazy and women going back and forth with the man. It's just a dope experience, but it's a date night. It's candles on the table. It's rose petals. Revere Lady Rose when they come in. It's date night joint. It's R&B music and it's conversation. We was trying to find a way to marry having a little cool event with podcasting because forever podcasts, like people really don't want to go sit and watch you talk for an hour and a half. They really don't. You know what I'm saying? Especially when most of these podcasts already got a gang of content online. So we like, how can we interact with the crowd and then make it like a joint situation? So it's we had it at Silks. We had it a couple different places, but you know.
You may see some gyration. At certain point.
You know what I'm saying? This nigga might dip strawberries and whipped cream and feed them to somebody. This nigga here, he's out of control, man. But it's a cool little date night event. Like we was talking about when we came up there, man. It's like, and with it like goes right along. Most of the music we playing is from 2000s and the 90s. It's R&B music.
Because that's our age. That's our age.
It marries perfectly, man. So like,
I can't wait.
We all got to get up there and check it. You know, that'd
be dope.
What's that?
We'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
I was talking
to him about like, because we picked the songs ahead of time, and I'm sure 90% of the damn songs we pick, he probably done got some shit.
You got a picture of
it.
You got
a picture. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
It's some shit to go on. Yeah. Oh. It's always, we was talking about that shit. We was up there. Me and Lee was up there for like an hour.
Right.
About a month and a half ago, So when I came back, I came back next day to the pod, I said, nigga, we can stop looking.
Yeah.
I said, we can stop looking, dog. Because we had did Silks. We did a couple different spots. The first spot we did was cool, but it was far.
That was a partnership. I mean,
it was a Willowwich. They was cool as ever, man. But it was far out. People had to go out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we provided drinks for people. You know, they might have been sipping. They driving from Willowick back to wherever. Yeah. And so, and then
right
Silks
off the freeway.
Silks did us dirty and double booked us.
Yeah, they did.
Yep.
So we was like, all right, we gotta find somewhere to like put a flag down because the event's too dope. Yeah. And we would have people beat. Like I can't walk through the hall. Shout out, real quick before we keep going. Me and him at you ever went to a new job? And you meet somebody and you be like, all right, I'm gonna be cool in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it was.
It's just like we in school again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. So like, yeah. So we probably I'm gonna call him Thompson, he gonna call me Reed, because that's what you gotta do when you're in the school and shit. Right. We'll call each other Mike and Dev. It's crazy. Yeah. It's hard to hear the
Michael
shit.
And Devin.
Michael and Devin, you know what I'm saying? but man, I'm just excited to hopefully, you know what I mean, do pod and R&B up there. But I was saying Miss Star at the school. Y'all know her as We call her Miss Star. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Yeah. Hey. Show off these niggas. But she asked me once a week about this thing.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm just hey.
She asked
hey, look,
me,
I'm like.
She asked me once a week about Pod and R&B, man. Yeah. I'm like, we go get it back going. She like, cause I can't. This nigga don't want her to come no more. Miss Star get a little saucy. Okay. I love her.
Oh.
I hate niggas like.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, I didn't know who it was. Okay. Yeah. Now I know. Yeah.
Yeah. She actually wants to
week. I know. We got to have a disclaimer. Like, if you ain't coming to have a good time, then
she
just,
wanna argue. She like, yeah, she wanted yeah, really get yeah.
Like,
her
just okay. You can't.
But the conversation
pull up.
Be fun though, man.
It's gonna be back and forth all night long. So right. I mean, like, you can't get in your feelings about it or whatever. Yeah. I mean, or whatever, because it's gonna be
that.
Ladies that's gonna have good points about us guys, yeah. And we have to sit there and
take it.
Yeah. And on top of that, we need spaces where we can have conversation.
Yeah, for real, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we do too much of, and it's stuff that we start transitioning out. So, but it's like we do too much of blaming people and who's doing this and who's doing that, and y'all doing this and women want to tell men how to be men, and men want to tell women how to be women, and stuff like that. It's like, and we say it all the time on the show. Can we just get back to loving each other and things like that? We need to have more conversation without the blame, in a sense. Have conversation. What? Why can't we talk anymore?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's five grown ass adult men in this room or whatever. You know, and we about to sit here and have some conversation about some good things, whatever. So if you can't tell me if we had one or two women in here, we can't talk without yelling at each other or something like that. It's like we gotta find a way to get over that. It's like and I hate the internet for and social media for what they do.
Yeah, but start getting a little saucy and get a little opinionated.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I hate how people get
hit
with each other
you
all
be
the time.
All for it.
Like you, yeah, he.
I'll be like,
because he like the salt bay, some little seasoning to it, and then step back
just like this.
And then step back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But well, we got to get back to that, man.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, but so hopefully, you know, we can make that partnership happen. Yeah. So the it's opening. Y'all said what date again?
I think at the end of the month. Like, we going spring break the 18th through the 25th. I just got a couple things to tighten up, and we ready. Okay. We ready.
Cool. That's
what's up. So definitely let us know. We'll talk about it on the show to let people know it's open. The trap and paint.
Trap and paint.
Happens when?
March 30th, but it's the last Saturday every month.
Every month.
At Captivate.
And Captivate.
Yep.
How much does it cost for that?
Early bird is $25. I think it goes up $10 after those are gone. They usually sell out pretty quick.
Okay.
The link is up now.
Okay. We gotta get to the next one.
Yeah.
If Kalisha's watching, she gonna wanna go.
Yeah, she gonna wanna go. I'm with it.
Yeah, we might as well though. I mean, like cool why not?
I said I was gonna start doing.
We got to do something.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good event though. I mean, it's a good vibe.
Only time I come out the house for real because I don't go nowhere. Yeah, I don't go nowhere.
Oh no, that's me neither. Like, me neither. Yeah.
You know, I need less drama in my life.
Man,
you know?
All
right. It's wild, man.
All right.
Yep. Going by itself. You better be going by yourself. Man. I know that much. Man. You better be going by yourself.
All right, man, what we got for the week, man? But,
what's up with Diddy, man? What Diddy on,
shit,
man?
Shit.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying. What Freako got going on, man?
Freako.
What you call him?
Freako. They said nigga got everybody caught up in the Freako. I said, that's the crazy thing I've heard about.
Yeah, it's not the Rico. It's the Freako.
What's up with him, man?
I haven't read a lot of stuff about this one. So,
you ain't read nothing about Diddy all week.
I've been avoiding it.
Why?
If I see it, because I'm over it. I'm over it. It's almost like
it's new shit though, but just
is it a part of you that don't want to believe it?
Probably, but it's also in the sense of look. I always say where there's smoke, there's fire. So if it's enough people saying a bunch of stuff about, and we've heard shit about Diddy for years. It's how he is with even business practices and things like that. So we know Diddy is a questionable type of dude in a sense. So I put a couple things to the right. I ain't want to fuck
pulling
with
up the court
Diddy.
Documents.
Diddy, I ain't want to fuck with Shannon Sharp hopping up the truck this week and stuff like that because I'm over it, man.
Shay looking crazy.
I'm over it. But yeah, so what's the new shit with Diddy right now?
No, it's legit allegations. Like,
but it's like every other week though.
Yeah, it's
like
something
new pop up.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
I lost count, so I don't. I lost track.
Is it just me or do it seem like when an individual gets into some trouble, that first one come out and it just like.
That's what it was.
Going crazy.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like R. Kelly.
It's like a snowball going down the hill.
Yeah. It's like the new dude is what's his name? Lil Rod?
Lil Rod. Jesus Christ.
I can't remember his name.
That's his real name.
Look, Lil Rod is insane for that to be.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's his name for real.
Lil Rod is crazy. Yo,
no, I'm never going by Lil Rod.
Right, real. You think you better call me Big Something?
Lil Rod.
Oh, Jesus I gotta Christ. Find it. But he accused Diddy of like diddling him. You know what I'm saying? Like when he was a little dark skinned dude. I can't remember. He was with Diddy back in the day. I remember seeing him in a video. But he said he, and then in the lawsuit, he said he admitted Diddy admitted to having relations with some other males. One of them being a Philly rapper. Who used to date Nicki Minaj? One of them being a singer.
I did.
Who had a Vegas residency before this? This is what Lil Rod said, bro.
So you can believe a nigga named Lil Rod?
I did see Meek going ham on like Twitter and shit.
But look, Meek ain't even Meek.
I can only imagine how he was talking to when he was typing it.
Probably, Freaky Meek.
They don't say.
Freaky Meek ain't even. He ain't sound right, man. His responses.
I'm gonna let y'all.
That nigga was mad.
No, Meek Mill. Look, Meek. Did you see his response on Twitter? I gotta find it, man.
No, he had about what multiple posts.
Didn't they say that back in the day? Didn't you hear stuff about him and Usher back in the day? Usher.
Did he and Usher?
Yeah.
Did he and Usher?
Yeah.
Okay.
About how he was having them at different parties and different.
Y'all gonna leave my brother Usher alone?
They said. Artist said. I was reading this week. Artist said that. He threw a party and Diddy told him don't wear drawers to the party.
What?
Jesus Christ.
Come on, man.
What nigga tell you don't wear drawers to a party?
A nigga that whose party I ain't coming to?
I don't believe that, man.
So y'all know what's his name be on YouTube. Diddy's old bodyguard.
Who's a nigga Wood?
Gene Dill.
Hey, by the way.
Okay.
Listen to him. He on like, you know, on like Vlad and some of the other.
I saw it the other day.
Yeah, like he tell you like he tell like everything. They will, you know, just listen to like Gene Dill on like YouTube.
I was watching actually on the way in. I wish I could pull the whole thing up, but yeah. I don't want to like get copywritten.
Right.
But he, man, where's the one from the other day?
By the way,
and he was recently talking about that one with like Usher. I think it was. Yeah.
He was talking about how Diddy was getting hair from somebody woman, then Usher came in and kissed her in the mouth.
Oh man!
Like, but he saw her sucking his whatever.
Man, come on, man.
And then Usher.
Come on, man.
This is what the bodyguard said.
So it's like Diddy's old bodyguard, Gene Dill, and he's on. I think it's called like art.
Can we say the word allegedly?
He said.
Yeah, right. No. Like Gene Dill was saying that stuff though. I mean,
and I quote.
Leave the drawers at home.
Yeah. Mike
over here talk about Diddy's parties is. By the way, party.
By the way,
leave your drawers at home.
Like what? He might have just named the episode.
Made the with 50
by the way.
He might have named this week's episode.
Ain't the with 50 said.
By the way, leave your drawers at home. That's me.
No, we gonna leave that part off.
No, please put that on there. Man. But these some of Meek's responses to all this. Stop asking me if I'm straight. I'm just gonna play it raw how the world is.
It was that part that was like.
Yeah,
was
come
like,
on, like, Meek.
I'm blessed. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Damn, took the post down.
I ain't hear nothing good looking. What is he talking about? He never really denied. Like, it was one. I'm trying to find the one, man. Because
he panicking. He in panic mode right now.
He never addressed it.
He in panic mode, man. His boys is hitting him up, man. He is in panic mode, man.
That's what should I say?
I wish I had the tweets pulled up. But the other one, it sounded like, you remember that scene from 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yeah.
When he was like, ooh, I just had her like, she said, ooh, grab my breast and ooh. Like, that's how
he's lying.
That's how he
was making it up.
He was making up the story, yeah.
That nigga said, like, I be running red lights to get to that gushy coochie. Like, what did you talk about, Meek?
Who says gushy coochie?
Yeah, like, what is... All this stuff is about his album. He done flooded his timeline with his album, so we can't find the tweets.
I feel like
everything from February.
So obviously Shannon's getting drugged right now.
Man,
look, my man hopped off the truck. y'all, look, I'm gonna let y'all speak on it. You know, Carlicia asked me about
it. I haven't even seen it.
Carlicia asked me last night. She's like, why they talk about this Shannon right or whatever? And she's like, yeah. Shannon hopped out the truck.
Money blew my man. What are you doing like that, man?
Yeah.
What are
you
doing like that?
He out of the truck. Yeah. You about to share it, ain't you?
Look at him.
Oh, no. Y'all see, man.
That's it for me.
Y'all got to leave people alone, man.
It's a rap for me. It's a rap, nigga.
Hey, Reed, where you get the hips, Reed? Where you get the hips?
He got them hips from a bad bitch. The nigga that got two hip surgeries, man. Them is some stripper hips this nigga got on him, man.
Hold on. Who was the one that was sitting at courtside with him?
That one right there.
Oh, that nigga. Hollywood.
Right here,
that?
No, go back. Go back. Right there.
Right there. That's what I said.
Look at that nigga.
Damn. Well.
Why they doing ugh like this, man?
That ain't normal, man.
Man, I don't know if my mom watching, but she got a hip replacement and she don't even walk like that.
Man, y'all is crazy, man.
I'm trying to defend ugh, man. Somebody in the comments on the Shade Room is the, I still to this day, I already said it, so I don't care. Somebody need to do a podcast about just Shade Room comments because I'm telling you it's the funniest shit in the world, man. They said that nigga wanted to go with the two-piece sign so bad when he got out the car, but he pointed. And I can't, like, watching. It looked like he wanted to go two-piece signs on him bad, boy. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Woo! You see it? That nigga wanted to go like this. Oh, man. They doing Unk bad, man.
Yeah, he brought this on himself for the sense.
Well,
you know what?
Oh man, somebody just did his dirty already, man.
They got up.
Look at the muscles.
You got the muscle. You got a muscle shirt on.
Yo, man.
That's funny, man.
I don't know, man. But I don't understand why they want to make all black men gay now, man. What's going on in the world right now?
I told Carlicia today. Well, no, I think it was yesterday. She asked me. I'm like, I didn't know he had kids. Because I never liked Shannon Sharp because he played for a rival team. He talked. Mm-hmm. He a very good trash talker, and I always hated him. Mm-hmm. You know, so whatever. You know, he played against my team, and y'all beat us. I don't like you.
Yeah.
So I ain't never liked him. But so I'm like, you know, you any person that makes it to 40, in a sense, and you ain't married and shit like that or whatever, you automatically, in the black community, you gay. If you 40 plus, not married, no kids, something like that, you get. But I she told me, she's like, oh, he got kids. I'm like, oh, well, I never do that or whatever. But it's like, they got to make everybody, like, I don't care.
This is crazy.
I'm trying, ain't I? You see me over here trying, like, all right.
It's crazy. It's the curvature. It's the curvature right there that's crazy.
He got them Kenny Smith legs. Yeah. He got them Kenny Smiths.
Niggas don't even yawn and stretch like that. Look
man.
At this nigga, man.
Come on, Shay.
His neck, like,
Oh.
He got an arch in his back. Pause.
Oh, man, this is crazy, man. Damn.
One of y'all take it, because
I don't know.
Next.
I can't defend this nigga. I can't defend Diddy. I can't defend Meek Mill. Nah, I guess them niggas live how they live and love what they love, man.
Hey, look.
Love wins.
I won't even look at him. Look at this motherfucker like. Fuck that. Man.
Yeah, I can't defend that.
Insane.
Mm. Oh man.
But real quick, we can't defend that. Let's talk about this real quick, man. So all right. So Trump with the sneaker con, right? And he brought up he put some shoes out. And he said that it was a guy that went on Fox News a few days later and said he connected with the black community, understands the black community, because he's selling shoes, and we love shoes.
I mean, we do.
This is what I'm saying. The word nigga, you can't say it.
I think we living in this world as a people where Trump is just. Trump is bold enough to say the shit that we don't say out loud.
I mean,
because a nigga gonna buy the new cherry red 11s when it is how you. If them bitches was fire, if them was gold, if he made the gold 11s, imagine if the 11s was gold around where the red is on the cherry red 11s.
They'd have them. They got them.
And then the Jordan symbol was an American flag. The 2-3 was the American flag
y'all,
on the back.
Y'all putting too much thought into this.
You think niggas would have had them gold 11s on?
Y'all putting too much thought into this shit, man.
The patent leathers?
They what? Definitely would.
More than likely, yeah. Half our school, half our 12-year-olds. Tell the truth.
Yeah.
He telling the truth. I don't see where he... I'm not voting for the dude.
Look, people went out there and bought... Delonzo Ball, with the Ball family shoes. People went out there and bought them shit, so...
Big Baller Brand.
The Baller Brand. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. So people went out there and bought them shit, so technically... Niggas is gonna buy shit just for the sake of buying it.
Like, imagine if these was real. imagine if them was real. And it was real, it was authentically Jordan.
Hold on, those Trump shoes?
Think about the bottom wallet.
You drop it?
Hold on, real quick.
You better go to sneakers at?
I got a hoodie. If niggas got a hoodie, they go with the shoes. They'll buy them shoes.
Already.
The only problem is the shoes is ugly. If the shoes had a hint of fire to them.
Hold on, man.
A hint.
Are you telling me that picture you just put up?
That's
not is an actual shoe.
That's a fake shoe.
I'm about to say
that's the real one right there. The gold.
The gold, right?
I think you can buy these, though.
Go ahead and put your card on it, Dale.
But they made the Trump ones, aren't they?
Nah.
This really got niggas fucking.
I'm like, no.
Hey, I'm over here looking like
Jordan. Yeah.
Jordan did say Republicans buy shoes, too. That's one of the most famous lines of all time. These are Trumps. These are the Trumps right here. They're some terrible shoes.
They're Trumps.
They're horrible.
Those
are
the ones?
They ass.
Them the ones.
Hey, look at the soul, though. Look at the soul.
I was like,
If them was the ones,
we'll buy them bitches. I think that's the only problem is the shoes shitty.
You know I'm controversial.
You buy them bitches?
I'm buying them.
Fat Joe bought them.
Weak. Fat Joe bought them.
The thing is, they're reselling for like, they're buying them for like $300, but they're reselling for like $1,200, $1,300. So Fat Joe, like, I'm a shoe collector.
Nah, fuck that.
So Fat Joe bought them.
Fat Joe corny for that, man. Yeah.
All right,
like corny for that.
Like Joe been corny for a minute anyway.
No. Would y'all buy them?
So, no, I would. With those?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Would y'all not buy them because they're Trump shoes or because they're ugly?
They shitty.
Both.
If they were nice and they were Trump shoes, I'm not buying.
Yeah, I'm not buying them either.
But the fact they shitty and Trump shoes, I'm not buying them twice.
So y'all got a little bit of you know, like, all right, I'm not gonna do that or whatever. But I will give you this difference. Like, all right, Trump does or his team, they will say some shit that's like, all right, we got to sit there and be like. Most people ain't gonna say it that way, but they will say it that way. Yeah, and it's like you gotta kinda give him that his piece for that.
Yeah.
But that's ass. Mm. No, that's ass.
Yeah, the shoes are shitty and that's the problem. That's the only problem I see.
So if there was fly, if there was dope for
I real, wouldn't buy them, but a lot of black people would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's an unfortunate truth. Like I'm not trying to like these shoes, all his shoes is terrible. Every last pair. Of Trump shoes.
Well, Trump is terrible.
Trump is terrible. But
you know, he's also going to be the next president. But, you know, I still stand on that. He's going to win the next election. But
I believe.
I still stand on that.
I believe.
Yeah,
I do too. I agree. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately,
God,
but
dog, man.
There's too many
of them. Biden's dead. What do we keep? I say it every single time. Biden is dead now. He's a walking ghost. Trump just has a little bit more bearings about himself than Biden does. That's it. That's the only difference.
That's it. And he got that following. Like, they going to follow that.
Yeah.
Like,
to the ends of the goddamn earth, man.
Whatever he do, they don't see no
wrong. No wrong. Nothing.
Man, every time I pull up to work and I go inside the parking lot, it's pickup trucks.
Got the flags.
I look at it every day and be like.
Mm. I be at the gym and they got them, like, my last gym, it was like, it'd be trucks. It'd be like 4 or 5 trucks. I'm not talking about them big flags.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I remember I caught that. What year was that? Maybe a few years back, or maybe 4 or 5 years, where I was on the freeway and they had the whole Trump thing going down the whole highway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that happened to me.
They had a little train, a bunch of cars.
It was crazy.
Oh, we was in Columbus and it happened one time on High Street in Columbus.
And the crazy part is all of them was looking at us like, I was like, man, get the fuck out of here.
It is what it is, man.
All right, so I got something for y'all because, you know, we got a couple people that work in the schools in here. Mm-hmm. You know, most people in here got some youngins at home too, and things like that. I got a question for y'all. So I saw somebody that you know, I watched one of my actually my favorite reality show is Big Brother, basically. But somebody that was on that show, she put a little post up on IG the other day, and she was talking about how her son, and I think he's grown now. I think he may be about 18-ish or so. But anyway, she put up a little post the other day talking about how he she grew up in a certain way. We all about the same age. We grew up a certain way where shit happens. Everybody's in a room. Everybody gets in trouble. Everybody gets whooping and stuff like that. Like, we grew up a certain way. Not saying it's right or wrong or anything. And a lot of times we look back on things nowadays and we say it wasn't right. You know what I'm saying? But she talked about how her son was in the room. He came home one day with somebody. He was talking to a bunch of his friends. And he was like, oh, I'm actually going to whoop my kids or whatever at some point. Not saying he's not abusive or nothing like that, but I, you know, because. But he said, he was basically like, yo, this is something I'm going to implement with my kids. And I thought about that for a second. I'm like, I think the next generation is actually going to get something like that right. Because I feel like for us, we go the opposite in so many ways when stuff happens. We go just, if it was left, we go so far right. If it was right, we go so far left or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a lot of us in our age range or whatever. We have a lot of kids that we are raising right now, or even a little bit older than us and whatever, where it's like, you know, you were in that group of people. It's like, okay, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. We have a million things now we say we shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And it's the opposite of what we did growing up. Because again, we know a lot of, you know, a lot of shit happened.
When
we
got our ass wrong.
Yeah. Or a lot of stuff in general or whatever. I feel like that's one of them things that they're going to get older. It's a lot of things that generation that's coming up behind us now is going to get right. They're going to look back and be like, you know what? I probably shouldn't have been doing this, or I probably should have got my ass whooped for something like that. And they looking back on it now and being like, yeah, y'all probably should have been a little bit more tough with us or whatever, something like that or whatever. And so I just wanted to get y'all take on that. Is that one thing that y'all think the next generation may get right? I'm not talking about just discipline in general.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it with us though was kind of the PTSD from getting our ass whooped. And we don't want to pass that shit on to our kids. But I personally only got a few whoopings when I was little. You know, I ain't get a whole bunch of whoopings. I'm passing on like the positive shit my father taught me to my daughters. You know what I'm saying? So, but I know I was rare. I know it was rare. Majority of my friends got their ass whooped when they fucked up. You know what I'm saying? My father would talk to me for 8 hours, and I'd be like, "Nigga, just whoop my ass, bro," and he wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it was effective. So I'm just passing that on. But I think for the most part, we just don't want to pass that trauma on.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I really think that's what it is in a nutshell. And now this generation hasn't received it, and they probably think they want or whooping would have worked. But that shit, my grandmother used to do more whoopings than my father would. Mm. My mother never whooped me, though. But I don't know. I just think they don't want to push the trauma on.
I'm trying to find out. It's crazy you would bring this up because of nature. Like, you know, I'm always candid, and I speak bluntly about my personal situation as far as
most things.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out like how to effectively handle him without getting into that mode of physically disciplining him. Because there's so much stuff you got to deal with nowadays too. Right. Like, they actually started a thing at his charter school as far as you know, abuse and different stuff. So it's like I'm in the mindset like I can't even be how it was old school for me, because it may be a situation he go inside and they ask him, has this ever happened?
Yeah.
Even though I know I'm not trying to do nothing to like hurt him, you know, nothing like that. But I'm just really
sure. We'll hold the kid to the school in a minute if we feel like they're getting abused.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's so I'm actively being like, because I don't want to whoop my children, no way. But I'm actively trying to figure out how to handle, you know, or rectify the situations with him when he's consistently doing certain things without taking him to like the doctor and being like, oh, he got this, he got that, you need to put him on medication, different stuff. Because he's been doing better, but he just go back and forth so much and struggling with so much that, you know, as his dad, I try to, like, figure out what's the best way. I'm asking y'all as men, like fathers, like, what's the best way to even try to approach that situation with him? Like, because I'm clueless at this right now. I just don't know, because it seems like every time I try to talk about stuff with him, it'll be a late. I need you to do A, B. It actually worked a couple times too. Positive, you know, reinforcement and telling them, hey, look, you know, this and that, the more, you know, in the morning when he, you know, whatever the case, hey, Layton, boom, 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 boom. and I'll get calls and say, oh, he did great today, this and that. But then it'll be a situation where he'll come right back and just do some off the wall shit. And it's like, we just had a conversation this morning. But that's just, it's crazy, man.
It's open for everybody.
Yeah. So I think, like, as far as, like, in the classroom, man, with my own kids, I got two boys. I got two sons.
What's the ages?
13 and 9.
Okay.
So I think it comes down to knowing your kid. Like, my two boys is polar opposites. Like, my youngest, the 9-year-old, has got more whoopings than the 13-year-old ever had. Just because they're two different kids. They respond differently to different things. And it's not like I've whooped a 9-year-old a lot of times. I can count on one hand the number of times I've had to whoop them. But it's just knowing your kid and what works. Like, some kids, you know, if I take this away, they'll respond. If I spank them, they'll respond. If, you know, if I have that 8-hour conversation with them, that's all it takes. But you just have to know what works. Because these kids, is like you said, they got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Like, these phones and social media, they living in a whole different world than we are right now.
It's so different.
So it's like, we as parents and educators, man, we got to tap into, you know, what they got going on and give them what they need to kind of navigate through life. And whether it's like, yo, I need to pull this belt out, or you need to get two to the chest, or I need to sit down and talk to, or shit, give you a hug. You know what I mean? Because, like, the first question you got to ask when a kid act up for real is why. Like, why did you do it?
Right.
You know, like, and you know, and they might give you a reason that makes sense. You know, even though the action didn't make sense, you know, that's what you got to talk them through. Like, all right, so this is why you did it, but this ain't the way you're supposed to handle it.
Right.
So figure out that why, and then build from there. And if it results in an ass whooping or a conversation or a hug, like, that's where you gotta, you know, pick what out the box.
Right.
But,
and shit, this might be the hardest advice to give, I think, man.
As you rocking the Black Dads.
Yeah, or dope.
Black Dads are dope shirt.
Yeah. Right. 'Cause it's the thing, man, especially in our community. 'Cause I heard you say it, 'cause it's a stigma. But sometimes the answer might be he can't help it.
Yeah. We see that every day.
We see it every day.
We see it every day.
And sometimes they really can't.
Yeah.
And I can't regulate my blood pressure on my own. So I gotta.
Yeah, I get it.
I gotta take medicine every day. You know what I'm saying? I gotta take Carvedilol every day.
It's a hard pill to swallow, though.
It's a hard pill to swallow, literally and figuratively. Yeah. But sometimes that's. In saying every kid is different, every kid is different.
Yeah.
And so it might be like, bro, I want to control myself, but like, I can't.
Right.
And especially if you see a pattern, that pattern. One thing about kids, man, after you work with so many, and I know like Thompson and like you see so many every year, they make sense. All of them make sense. Mm-hmm. From the outside looking in, it might look like a cluster of like, but every single kid makes 100% sense once you really, really try to get to know what's going on. And you know your kid more than any other kid.
Right.
And if you see that pattern, and if that pattern is making sense to you, not like, like you were saying, like one day he good, one day he, you know, it might be off. Or 3 days might be good, one day might be off. Or 4 days might be good. And you're like, what's going on? You might have to start tapping into stuff that you haven't tapped into before. Mm-hmm. And it might be.
Yeah. And see, that's what makes me. Not drives me crazy, but just make me think a lot, because Layton will, he'll do things and know there's a consequence behind it, but still do it.
And I think that's what I can't help.
That's what
he
can't help it.
Like,
we see it every day.
He will literally, I will literally be like,
yeah,
Riz, don't do, hey, look, we need to be, good day to, hey, you determine your day. You're going to have a great day, this and this and that. Don't do A, B, and C. I'll be at work.
He'll do A.
Hello. Hey, Mr. McDaniel. Layton is A, B, C, and D. I'll be like,
God damn, I just told you.
I just told you not even an hour ago. Yeah. Now he got to go sit in the room with, you know what I'm saying, or whatever
me?
The case.
And they would read, man. Filling out a reflection.
And I'd be sitting there like, you know that when you do A, B, and C, that A, B, and C is going to happen after the fact, right? I even said this to him the other day. I was like, Layton, why do you do stuff
when you know
he might not be able
what the consequences is going to be. So now, me trying to be better as a dad, as a father, I'm like, well, damn, maybe he can't help it.
Yeah, he might not be able
maybe
to.
Maybe it's something a little more deeper than what we capable of handling as parents on our own.
Because it's a stigma in our community. My bad. It's a stigma in our community because, like, not because, but we see the same kids every day. I see the same kids every day. I might see the same 15 kids every day. If I get a new kid and I'm like, damn, what you do? what you doing in here? You know what I'm saying? It's the same ones every day. And it's a lot of times it is a parent or two that's like, my baby, okay, all right, I'm not going to argue with you about your baby.
Right.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? But I can guarantee we going to, they can't help it, man. And love them to death. You don't think nothing bad of them. You know what I'm saying? But they, if they can't help it, they might need something to.
And I'm going to tell you for real, I know we got a transition, but and I'm going to tell you for real what made me realize that it may be something a little deeper than what I think it is. My son he loves PlayStation, you know, like any other kid. You know what I'm saying? I told him, and I bought him a PS5.
Shit, you sound like our parents.
That was that, that, no, this was before. This was before Christmas. I told him, if you don't do A, B, and C, you're not going to see that PS5, right? He ain't seen it since Christmas. So this is what, and this is his passion. Yeah. Like, he told me, I want to be such and such, like, you know, A, B, C. And I'm just like, okay. And I'm thinking in my head, okay, I got the PS5. I know he going to act right. I'm not saying I'm trying to do that for him.
No,
to,
you got to.
Because look, I don't want to paint this picture like he don't have great days.
Yeah. No, no.
He does. Yeah. But I'm looking at the scale and it ain't weighing out like it's supposed to be.
A little more consistent.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Bruh, it's to the point where he didn't even ask about the PS5 now. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, something ain't right because I know my child.
No, I think that just becomes normal at that point. I think you had a point too. I don't want to interject too much, whatever. But it's just, and even from the feed, Corley, she was saying that, no, it's sometimes it's like an attention thing. Mm-hmm. You need more attention in whatever way, so whatever. And I think that is true. That's the case. True in a lot of instances also. But even speaking to your point too, I think sometimes that just becomes like the norm. It's like, all right, well, I just ain't gonna have a game. Like you just it's like just, he cool it becomes with normal. It.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know him to be that way. Mm-hmm. So when he hit me with the, I was just like, oh no, okay, how are we gonna fix this? You know what I mean? Like something's obviously going. So we are actively, you know, his mom and I are actively trying to take it to another level as far as like, okay, what's going on with our baby? You know, so we gonna see.
I'm sorry, did you ask something?
Thank y'all for letting me share that with
you. Oh, no, definitely. Well, you know, I don't have kids. Well, I do, but I don't. So I have a son, but he passed like 3 days after he was born. So you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he would have been 16 right now. So, but with that, though, I don't think that it's a, like, right answer or, like, perfect answer. Because, I mean, again, like, we're not with our kids all day. So we don't know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can just go by off of what they tell us or the like teacher tells us. And also too, like, I applaud y'all because I couldn't be a teacher. I don't have that patience.
I mean, know.
I just don't. Y'all? I applaud teachers, man. But again, yeah, I mean, it's tough. And I grew up in a household kind of like you. Mm-hmm. So like my like dad never like whooped us. It was my mother. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it was. And I have like two sisters, and me and my older sister was the like laid back one. It was my younger sister. That's the one that had the little like problems, and it would like
so always the youngest. Shout out to Mike.
Right. But and it was her and my father that would like bump heads because they're like the same person, really. Mm. Kind of like it's like their way, kind of, or like no way to understand. Kind of like hard headed too. So they would like bump heads. But my little sister, though, at least in high school, you know, she was just. It was just nonstop. It was always something. I had to go to like his house. Like, bro, I can't be there because I know what's gonna happen. So I don't know, man. It's just it's tough.
And you know another thing too. I'm trying to get out of that. I haven't even expressed this. I know we got to move on, but I have not. Thank y'all for like I said just a few minutes ago for letting me get this out because it's something I've been thinking about for a minute. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like I find myself questioning myself as a parent. No, in a sense, I'm gonna tell you why.
when he with my, you know, my mother, his grandmother, he don't do none of this.
But what she let him do?
What, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What she be letting him do though? Yeah. That's you got to. Are you holding? Yeah. Are you holding boundaries that he got to stay within? And the grandma just like, hey, you grandma's baby today. You know what I'm saying?
The
you
thing
got
what is, my mother tells him whenever he goes, like him and his sister Parker go over there. Ain't no video games over here. Y'all gonna do puzzles. Y'all gonna do this. Y'all gonna do that. Y'all can watch some TV, but y'all gonna watch something that's educational. And the thing is, he don't. Every time he go over there, it's like a 10 hut. You know, and my mother's not. You know, y'all know my mom. Yeah, she's not even that type of person. She's real meek, real laid back, real caring. But at the same time, she kind of got that way, like she grandma. He don't do none of that. Hey, but when he don't do that stuff around me. But see, his mom called me and told me like, yeah, Rhea's starting to be a little. I call him, he don't even come, and it's so much I want to talk to y'all. We're gonna do it off because I know we got transition, but man. Okay. This is one of the moments where I need my brother's conversation, man, because I'm trying to really figure this out because he's getting older and I don't want this to transition into his teenage years and it be something worse or, you know, to the point where he's starting to do shit that's really like bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, that's one of the things that we obviously have these conversations on the show, whatever. And
by the way, man.
You good, man.
Nah, you good. So yeah, we'll talk about that one a little bit more. And then you had one too.
What?
Was that the topic?
Oh shit! Hold on, let me pull it up. Let me pull that shit up. My bad, y'all. I put all my stuff in my drafts and Gmail. You know what I'm saying? Oh no, real quick. No, before any of that, we talked about this. We talked about it earlier. I know, nigga. While it's still down, I'm gonna bring it down and try to bring it back up. But no, this is my pop's birthday. He'd have been 73.
Right.
Yeah, March 3rd, 1951. You know what I'm saying? So he'd have been 73 today. So shout out to Petty James Reed.
Yes,
you know
sir,
what I'm saying?
Sir.
Like this
would
have been
heavenly birthday.
It's been B Day, man.
Let me add in. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. So my youngest nephew just turned 16 today too.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, shout out, happy birthday, Neff. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Neff, I see you. Eli.
That's what's up.
Happy birthday. But,
I want to. I'm gonna wait to. I'm not gonna wait to Brainstorm come back because he had to go drain the lizard. You know what I'm saying? But no,
I ain't heard that in years.
You know what I'm saying? Charlamagne got in trouble for calling the chick the big back. So I don't know if y'all saw the. Did y'all watch that shit? That 52 part? I mean, I know niggas ain't watch 52 parts.
Nah, I ain't see it. I don't even have TikTok.
You don't?
That's crazy, right? I don't. No,
I told
don't.
Him.
Yeah, I don't have.
I told him.
The thing about, real quick, before we even get into it, TikTok, like I do have TikTok, but I don't be on TikTok, but you know what the problem is? I be on Reels trying to tell myself it ain't TikTok. Nigga, this TikTok on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's the same shit. You know what I'm saying? I could be on that shit for an hour and 15 minutes, man.
Hey, Reed.
What's up, man?
My wife just texted me, right? Uh-huh. And she said, my youngest son heard the whooping comment and said, bruh, why he had to mention that? What's up, Chase?
That's your son name?
Nice, Chase. Nice. Yeah. What's up, Chase?
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, sometimes it be like that, man. You gotta take.
Him. You know I love him.
That'd be the same thing. Leave me listen to McKenzie. You hear some stuff, man.
That's
but
funny,
but no, man. Like, yeah, I be on Reels a lot, but not TikTok. But the chick got on. She got on TikTok and did a 52 part. Each part was like 8 to 10 minutes, man. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I listened to the first three, then I started watching little recaps or whatever. But apparently she got with some dude or whatever. She got married to the nigga, but everything he ever did was a lie. You know what I'm saying? Like, he said he was a CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Like, who believes that? Like, that's her fault.
The nigga was a forklift driver. You know what I'm saying? The nigga be on the phone in the morning like, hey, babe, my brother said good morning. Nigga ain't had no brother.
Oh, he was just lying for no reason.
He's like, not lying for no reason.
He lied about stuff she could Google? Hey, come on, man.
How often do you like hear that, though? Like, yeah, I'm a CEO of Fortune 500. Though.
You know what I'm saying?
Like that right there would just be like,
nigga,
I know this nigga. Like,
the fuck is a Fortune 500? But apparently, like, he was trying to buy her $750,000 house and he had no money.
Oh.
So it kept, but he was like printing fake documents. He had these fake people call the phone. She had an abortion or something one time. And he made like his fake, he made the people call him like he was his assistant or some shit. And then he answered like he can't come, but he couldn't come because he couldn't take no more days off from work. He was out of PTO.
And you the CEO. How you the CEO but you got to take PTO? Who you sending the request to? Like, who approves your time off?
Oh, shit. So
the board.
I'm going to say the board.
And so the nigga Charlamagne, I said all that to say, fuck her story. Her story cool was funny. I said to say, Charlamagne said, this sound like big back behavior. Like, this sound like big back women being thirsty. For a relationship. I don't think big back is a bad, you know what I'm saying? Is big back disrespectful?
Man, come on.
I'm a big back nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to the big back women. We love you too.
You know what I'm saying? Is big back bad to say your chick, you can't say your girl got a big back.
No. No.
I don't know. So now he getting blowback. They saying he don't like black women and all this different kind of shit.
Well, I've been saying about him for years anyway. So I mean, it's nothing new. And I really felt like that was a joke when he said it. He didn't I'm guessing you're talking about the TikTok thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like he didn't see the person or whatever he said, you know. So he was just like, yo, that sounds like, you know, what it is. So it's just, I think this is literally one of those times where he just made a joke. And I know jokes can go too far. I think it was later when I'm talking, he just made a joke, and it's like people just want to be offended for no reason, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. I think we gotta bring jokes back, man.
What if you'd have said woman with low self-esteem behavior? Then what? Who would have got mad then? People with low self-esteem? So what, you gonna identify yourself then?
Right.
So it's like, I just feel like it was a joke that kind of people took offense to for no reason.
Because we just, we don't say the silent part out loud sometimes, man. You know, like we know the jokes, but like we don't know them. It's tax time. You get you a little big back from Painesville. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Or if you're on the west side, Lorraine.
On the west side. She getting back $6,200. She gives you about $5,900. You know what I'm saying?
You tell her you gonna flip it.
You be with her.
And then you go to Red Lobster.
You be with her. You be with her till May, and then y'all break up. Like, we know how the game go.
You know how the game go.
Like, why can't we say that? I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess whatever.
Things are too sensitive now.
People just look. And like, I know we can't say it, but I just don't know why we can't say it, man.
No, some things do go too far, but sometimes the truth is just the truth. So
But she's at the point now where saying the stuff that you actually see in front of you, you can't even say.
Yeah.
People know, like you just said about the text, people know what the fuck going on. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows somebody right now that's like, damn, she about to get taken for all her shit.
Mm-hmm.
Or that nigga about to get, he got tax money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is
what it is. It is what it is, man, but whatever. But shout out to her. I guess.
Shout out to her. Yeah. And her better.
I guess she getting interviews and shit. She getting money.
I heard she made some pretty good money off
of it. Yeah, she getting some notoriety from it. So, yeah, she getting money off of TikTok from it. I mean, she got millions and millions of views on TikTok. Mm-hmm. So, she getting money from it. So, shout out to her for that. But it was different layers to this. I brought this up, too, because I believe this is the next step in, like, the alternative to books. Because I didn't listen to it, but about 100 million people did. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch all of them. But, like, I just think it's going to, she stumbled upon, in my opinion, an alternative to media, to telling your own story. You got audiobooks, you got regular books, but I can sit down in front of a camera for 2.5 hours and like tell my detailed story from my point of view from beginning to end. I just think she stumbled upon a new way for people to creatively tell stories.
But the question is who's really, obviously a lot of people did. Never mind.
A lot of people did.
I was about to say, who's really going to do that?
And if like, it was, let's say Michael, let's say, I forgot about to go Mike, because I want to give a shout out to LeBron for 40,000. Let's say LeBron was like, next whatever, next June, on June 19th next year, I'm dropping a 40-part TikTok series of me talking about the 3-1 comeback. Everybody named mama go to LeBron TikTok page and watch that bitch from beginning to end. Talking about the money stashed in the ceiling. We coming back to get the money. Yep. All that shit. Like, it's just a new form of communication. And she might have just stumbled upon that shit and we all just got into it on some, like, viral shit. But if I was somebody who had some shit to say that people would want to listen to, seeing how much money she made off of it, everybody named mama would go and watch LeBron's 40-part, 20-part, 15-part, 25-point part, whatever, 31-part for 3-1. But you know what I'm saying? TikTok series.
I feel that that's what TikTok is, because I'll be on like TikTok, like faithfully now. And most of it is just stories. Like
people, stories. Okay,
like,
I never
seen. Like you know, like part one, part two, part three. Like,
I didn't know that.
Like, yeah, like most of it is just part four, five, six, seven of people. Of course, you know, like they're like networking too. But I mean, but like a lot of it though is people telling like their stories or like their daily lives and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's amazing because I actually seen a part 35. I'm
that's what it is.
Yeah. That was trapped in the closet.
It just be chapters now, right? It just be chapters of like your life and whatnot. So yeah.
Oh shit, that's just like me, like a nigga think he discovered something new, ain't discovered shit.
Right.
Nigga shit, you know what nigga shit does.
Christopher
nigga.
Columbus.
Yeah. Discover some shit you already here. Yeah, man. But no, I just when I was watching, I'm like, this is a dope. I didn't know that though. I had never been on TikTok for that specific reason. I go for some funny shit. You know
I mean,
what I'm saying?
All types of stuff on TikTok. I mean, like, you know, from like funny shit, selling stuff. You know what I mean? I go on TikTok just for like random stuff. Like, hey, how do you cook this, this, and that? And it'd be a billion videos,
really,
or whatever. So I mean,
so is TikTok like the new YouTube? Because as you're telling that story about Bron, I'm thinking like, or he can just sit down and just record an interview and put it out on YouTube.
I think it's just quicker. It's just, you know,
it's quicker. You can get it in bites.
Put that reel in. It's just real. Yeah, you getting bites. Yeah, to where like on like YouTube, like it's like a 20-30 minute like video at, you know what I'm saying, like at once. So where on like YouTube, I mean on TikTok, it's like, okay, I'll shoot this one part today and then leave them like guessing for the next part.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll put like part two. Like you can come out, he can come out with parts 1 through 5 today and then 5 through 10 on Wednesday and the next on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, man, I would love it though. But I was just thinking about I guess they do already. But I'm like, if they used it for that reason, like specifically as an alternative to like books or a documentary, it's a new form of stream of income. It's a new form
of
media.
If you know how to work it right, it can be.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah. Because she worked the hell out of it and got bread off of it. And went viral. I'm like, man, basically what she did was wrote a book about her experience with this nigga. That's all it was, if you really think about it. I ain't got 2.5 hours to do shit. I'm not about to watch you, lady. But people want to read.
People
do read for that long. You know what I'm saying? Put your headphones in, ride, and listen to her tell the story. Ain't nothing but an audio book. That's all the fuck it was.
It really was.
That's all it was.
So. I guess I just ain't into people's personal story in that sense of, like, I guess a regular person in the sense of it. It's just like.
But all these stories we watch are personal stories.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you really break it down, like I always look at it like this. I'm like, I just don't feel like doing it, but 100 million people can't be wrong.
No. Like, no.
100 million, somebody got to be interested in something.
But you know what?
But that many people to watch it.
It was juicy. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't telling
a story. She was about, dumb as fuck. That's what it was.
She wasn't telling a story about, had that been a story about her being, how she met her husband and they were so happy and this is the things who did whatever, that shit wouldn't have got that. People are addicted to negative. Y'all got to remember that. Like anything that's negative and has a fucked up type of connotation to it or whatever, people going to flock to it all day long.
Yeah.
Why the fuck is the Cat Williams interview over 50, 60 million views or whatever, drama. Because it's drama. People are addicted to that. That's people won't be drawn to it. You can't. I was thinking again over these 2 weeks we've been out about, like, if we actually started a push or somebody started a push about just something positive, no matter what, you put something positive, relationship wise, talk about the time how you met your husband. Talk about how you met your wife. Talk about when you fell in love. Talk about the first time you knew about love, whatever. That shit wouldn't go half as far as the Cat Williams shit did.
Yeah.
Because we don't like
the problem is, because the problem is positivity for you puts people in a negative headspace, in a deeper negative headspace.
Yep. That's true.
So the more I talk about how beautiful my love is, if I ain't got it, it's going to make that person listening to it be like, man, fuck you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's fucked up. It should inspire you. But if you look around and you ain't got no prospects for love, you know what I'm saying?
It's going to say, fuck your shit.
Yeah, that's the fucked up. But you right, though. You 100% right.
It's going to say, fuck love. And I'm about to tell you after I say fuck love why I don't
fuck with love.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Right. You got anything good, or if not, I got what's something up, we'll end out with, I guess, in a sense, because we're coming up on an hour and a half. I'm really big on the R&B Money podcast right now. That's like my they got about, I guess, 80 some shows up there or whatever. So I find ones that with them interviewing somebody I like, and or whatever, and just pay attention to it. So we're on the same age range or whatever. So we grew up in 90s, and we 90s music is obviously for us. We say it's the golden age of music. So I want to ask everybody here, what's an underrated or underappreciated R&B song? R&B song.
Oh, I know exactly what, I mean, it's only one for me.
Whoever want to go first? Yeah, come on.
So.
You want to go first? You want to let the guest what? Yeah.
I was trying to sing it.
Oh, hell.
Oh, shit.
Damn, I can hear it. Boom, 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 boom. It's who will I choose? Chris Bender.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Chris Bender.
Okay. But it's underrated because he got killed and he could never make no more music.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I mean, that's really what happened to him. Chris Bender got shot.
Yeah,
he got shot in the car.
But who will I choose is probably, it gets lost in the shuffle. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's one of the great. It's one of the best ever.
Those are some people's real life.
Yeah.
Issues.
So who will I choose is my shit.
Damn. Y'all can go ahead.
I'm going to ask somebody else because I asked the question. I ain't got to answer my damn stuff. But.
So, I mean, my favorite artist, man, like of all time, my go artist is Keith Sweat. So, and I mean, you know, it's like either you love Keith Sweat or you hate Keith Sweat. You know, but I mean, Make It Last Forever was my wedding song. That was the only thing my wife let me choose for the wedding. You know, was that.
Okay.
That was the only thing I was like, we got to have that. But, I mean, How Deep Is Your Love is probably like my favorite song. Like, I don't think it's really, really much messing with that. But, I mean, if you want to go underrated, I would say my underrated group would probably be H-Town or Silk. You know, I'm going in that range. Like H-Town, Emotions.
Yeah.
You know, that's a banger. You know, if you want to go like on some Groove Theory, Tender, like, you know, I don't know, something along those lines, I would say.
I do got to throw one more. I hate piggybacking off shit. But same thing with me, Leah. Only let me pick one song. It was Give My All to You, Myron. But Myron is one of my, is underrated in a motherfucker.
I took it.
He went to Heights. He was a Heights nigga. But that album was fire. That Destiny album was fire. Them big ass clog shoes he had on in that motherfucking video.
I remember we seen that dude inside of a Boston Market.
I saw that nigga at a Verizon store.
Yeah.
He's still he do like that, music at a church over off Washington. He's still like the music director.
Bro, that Destiny album was cold.
Yeah. Myron?
It was cold. Damn, you took my, I got to think of something else. You
can go ahead. Bad, I took it. Damn, my fault.
I told you, I asked the question, and I don't really have a good answer myself, but
it's tough.
It's tough.
Underrated R&B song.
I think he was like late 80s going into, so Bobby Brown's first solo album is underrated as fuck. Because he had bangers really like 1 through 8 for real.
Yeah.
So I think that gets definitely that one there. And it's so many, bro. I say that's probably my like underrated type of like album.
Okay. Although he's not, performing, but I think one of the most, I can't call it underrated, but I don't think, I'll say not appreciated as much as it should be, is the Carl Thomas Emotional album.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a banger.
When you hear the people they mention in R&B, like you said, Bobby Brown, you hear about Usher, you hear this and this and that, man, that Emotional CD album, rather, from beginning to end, was fire.
With just cream, and he made the cream turtleneck popular. Man.
Right.
Hold on. I gotta go. Sorry. I agree with you.
Yeah.
He might be right. We did this with Michael Jackson Thriller the other day and Bad. It's just like we didn't realize like what the nigga had on the album until you went to it. And every song was like The first eight songs on Don't Be Cruel is crazy. Nigga, the first eight songs on Don't Be Cruel is Don't Be Cruel, My Prerogative, Rony, Rock With You, Every Little Step. God damn.
Hey, Reed, my wife said Dave Hollister, Chicago
85. Oh my God.
Hey, she loves him, Dave, man.
Because,
in that lane.
My favorite girl.
In that lane,
I was going to say, for one, he's underrated in everything or whatever, but I was going to lean into the Black Street. Before I Let You Go, which he sung lead on, and then also Joy, which Chauncey sung lead on Joy.
Yeah.
So those was gonna be my two songs right there. Yeah. But Dave Hollister, Chicago 85, and honestly, my favorite Dave Hollister song.
I know she happy. No.
Girl, I gotta go. Yeah. I can't stay.
Oh, okay,
can't stay.
You got singing.
Can't Stay is my favorite Dave Hollister joint, period. Bruh,
my favorite song by Dave Hollister is Favorite Girl. The way, come on.
Yeah.
No, that's a dope album.
Matter of fact, when I leave here, I'm playing that song. Shit. God damn it.
I love doing this. I didn't realize what Don't Be Cruel had. God damn.
Because I was listening randomly, and I heard, I was on YouTube, and it had just started playing, and they just kept playing it like every song. I was like, God damn.
It's fucking crazy. Yeah. Right. Like, we pulled up Thriller. Thriller is easily the best album ever made. Every song.
I agree.
Is like a certain, like, because I wasn't big on Mike.
So, what's your favorite Mike song, man? I'm a big Mike fan. What's your favorite Mike song, though?
Mine is either Pretty Young Thing or Rock With You. I don't know. One of the two. It's not.
Mine's is not going to be what y'all think it's going to be. I'll tell you that. I love all Michael songs. My favorite song by Michael Jackson ever is Stranger in Moscow.
Wow, man.
But you know I'm weird anyway. I like different shit. But if we got to go back to the early shit, Human Nature. Hands down.
Like, look at this
album,
man.
Lady of My Life, man.
Yeah, look at this fucking album, man.
It's great.
Want to be starting something, Baby Mine, The Girl Is Mine, Thriller, Beat It, Billie Jean, Human Nature, Pretty Young Thing.
I love The Girl Is Mine, Paul McCartney. That's another banger.
How do you make an album with that many certified?
Mike was cheating, man. He was cheating with that.
Mike was cheating with that, man.
So somebody mentioned this, again, might be the R&B Money podcast. But we might have mentioned it on the show. Mm. The intro to Diary of a Madman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to the My Heart Belongs to You, I think that's the first song. The intro with the, is that the chimes and stuff on the beginning of Diary? Come on, man. Can you start an R&B album more fire than that, in a sense?
I think we talked about this the other day. The hardest intro for me is My Name Is Joe.
Yeah.
That's the hardest intro for me.
Yeah, that's the
one. And this too as well, but Joe, that Joe album, My Name Is Joe.
Yeah, Joe got some. Mint Condition got some.
Yeah. Mint Condition.
I play them.
But we talked about this the other day. The only one that rival, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. The only one is the three, the 1, 2, 3 for this is their debut album, bro. This is
Forever My Life.
This is Jodeci just coming on the scene. You never heard of me before, and I'm going Stay, Come Talk to Me, and Forever My Lady as 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. That's a hell of a top three on your albums to come out, introduce you to the world. If I never heard them before, and I'm playing these songs, I'm like, what the fuck am I listening to? That's just hard, man. But anyway. You know,
and I will say that somebody just said Mint Condition.
Yeah,
someone
intros. Yeah,
Someone to Love. The song, Someone to Love.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. With the instrumental and stuff or whatever.
You know what
Someone
mine
to
is.
Love. Come on, man.
You know what mine is already.
You Isley's.
Yeah, it's Voyage to Atlantis, man.
Voyage to Atlantis.
Man, yeah. Listen. Listen. The guitar riff beginning of that is crazy, man. But yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know we can do this all day. Yeah.
Tony.
Oh, yeah. What is it? I think The Revival. I think that's the one that's my favorite album of theirs. Revival, but yeah, Tony is another good group. That's why when they actually came in concert, about a couple of months back, I hate that I really didn't go to that concert because everybody that went said it was a good show. They actually made people put their phones away at the show, like Chappelle and them do with the comedy shows. They made them put their phones away. And that's it. And one more last thing, even listening to, I just watched the Case R&B Money thing. He was talking about how it's so different now doing shows because everything is in your face because everybody's sitting there with their phone up.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you can't have an off night. Back in the day, you could kind of have an off night and, you know, it kind of whatever. He's like, now it's like, as soon as you have an off night, that shit is on YouTube and shit like that or whatever, and people talking about you and acting like you can't do this and you can't do that, you know? Yep.
But you know what's so crazy about this whole conversation? You see how everybody just got excited about...
Because it's the golden era, man.
But this is the reality. This type of shit is what you're going to see at
Pod. On top of that, though.
This is what I'm talking
tell
about.
Them again,
all this music we've named, I guarantee you, you're going to hear it at Pod and R&B, and we're going to have a conversation about it after the fact.
Yeah.
So I'm just plugging it in real quick.
All right, love it, bro.
No, tell them again because of the fact that it's I stand by the event because it's just it's an experience. We didn't know it was going to be what it turned out to be when we started doing it. Just the energy that's usually in a room and in a building when we do it. You know, you kind of hope things be a certain way, but then until you do it, you know, you don't really know how it's going to be or whatever. Yeah. And this nigga here is a star. Of Pod and R&B. Every single time we do it, man. So it's just so hopefully we get that date solidified soon, man, and we'll get to bring it back to the people, man. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. So we want to thank y'all for being here, man.
Tell us about the next, what you call it, one more time. Tell them when the next Trap and Pain,
March 30th, Saturday, March 30th, start at 7. Tickets on sale now. Early bird should still be available.
I'm gonna have to go. You know, my birthday on the 1st, so I'm gonna have to celebrate birthday.
Be a nice way to bring it in.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna have to Take the old lady, man.
Yes, sir.
That'd be dope. All right. Let the people know where they can find y'all.
Waking Dream Creations on IG and Facebook. Galleries on 185th, 678, 185th. Right here in Cleveland off the freeway right there.
Mm-hmm. Ron B, one and only. IG, Facebook, Ron B. Simple as that.
All right. We want to thank y'all for being here. And then honestly, we want to wish y'all much continued success with everything y'all doing. These pieces are dope.
Yes.
So we hope people get out and check out the space.
We talked about it. We didn't point. So behind us, I mean, people can probably see. You can bump your head to the right a little bit. We got the Coming to America joint. Yep. We got the Dead Presidents joint and New Jack City. You know what I'm saying? Right. New Jack City can really be seen on the camera. Yeah. But if y'all can't even really see that, we got to take pictures of the Coming to America joint after this, man. Like, it's, you got the flowers.
That's
I know you say you don't charge
the
a lot.
Rose petals. I was looking at it like,
niggas gotta have a real
the rose petals. Nigga, get out the car. They throw the rose petals everywhere.
Niggas gotta have a real conversation because that one gotta be up in somebody's crib and they gotta pay a grip of money for that one, brother. That one hard. That one dope as hell.
Appreciate it.
But which
Yeah, all right.
That's hard, man.
All right, yeah. Playboy, give them all your shits. All
right, man. At the end of the day, it's Playboy the DJ, Playboy DADJ. You can find me on Instagram, Playboy_James3. You can find me on Facebook under My Government. If you know me, then you know me.
They know you.
And you can find me on all DMST Boy platforms, man. Got a little quote. It's simple. Like my dad used to say, be yourself before you be by yourself, man. Great having y'all, man. The energy with y'all,
appreciate
bro.
It here. Appreciate y'all.
Fire, man.
Great show.
We definitely got to collab and get some things popping here in Cleveland, man. Yes, but I'm out, man. Great show.
All right. Dev, give them all your shits.
Yeah, it's Big Dev, man. Do what needs to be done. What needs to be done, whether you like it or not. It's real Big Dev 216 everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Again, and shout out to your dad, too, for that quote right there.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, man.
Big shout out right there.
Hundreds of times growing up.
Yeah.
So one more time. Do what needs to be done when it needs to be done, whether you like it or not.
That's life, man.
Absolutely. That's it.
That's life. So. All right, y'all. DMST16@yahoo.com. Questions, comments, concern, feedback, anything you want us to talk about in the show. Remember to follow us, DMSTBOYZ. So that's DMST Boys on our social media pages and on Facebook, YouTube. If you're listening throughout the weekend, you don't tune into the show live. We keep telling y'all, we don't know why y'all not tuning in live, man. It's always a good time. You can interact with us live on the show. Give us your comments and things like that. A lot of times we'll read them on the show.
Y'all ain't doing that on Sundays, no way.
Yeah, you ain't doing shit. You know what I'm saying? You ain't doing shit.
Tune in, man.
You know what I'm saying? But,
maybe they are. Maybe they busy on something.
It could be.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know about that, man. You know what I'm saying? But we'll be back next Sunday. Brand new show. Again, we in our season of guests, man. So, you know, we
football season is
football season is done. I know the Cavs playing right now, but the Cavs ain't playing none of the primetime games.
Fuck
ABC
the Cavs.
Or nothing, man.
fun. So, you know what? I love them, but
I was at the game on the other day. That one was fun, but they two up and down. They two up and down.
I'm sorry, I did get on my nerves.
They two up and down.
Oh, real quick before we go, I'm sorry. I know he's in the middle. Shout out to LeBron.
40,000.
40,000. Yeah.
First person to do it, man. Oh. For a nigga, that's a passer.
I know you about to say no, something.
I'm not saying nothing, man. Shout out to LeBron, man. That was a hell of a accomplishment.
I didn't even see it happen live, but yeah.
Me either. Yeah. But that's literally amazing, though. 40,000 points is crazy. Yeah. 40,000, 10, and 10 is insane.
Yeah.
They put a thing up. What do you think would be broken first? 40,000 points, 100 points. Or 100 in the game. So 40,000 career, 100
in the game.
I say 100 in the game to win the game.
Because the niggas throwing up 70 with that like this.
Yeah, they are flirting with it. Yeah.
They throwing up 70 like it's nothing right now.
40,000 is just incredible, man.
For a dude that literally does pass the ball.
Yeah.
Literally, he passes the ball.
LeBron be shooting, though. Somebody going to put up today. He ain't even a score. Nigga, he got 40,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't even be fucking these hoes.
Nigga, you got 20 kids.
What the fuck are you talking about, man? No, but tell you, LeBron is reaching a point to me, I just wanted to say, because, you know, we had these LeBron Jordan debates all the time. No more. I believe they've both gotten to this. I will put them, it's a 1-1. I don't think nobody is in a second spot because he's done shit that is as otherworldly as what I witnessed when I was growing up watching Jordan. They have reached new stratosphere. Like, okay. In my humble opinion, I don't even think we can argue it no more. If you think LeBron is the greatest, and I can't say shit to you. I can't say shit. If you think Jordan's the greatest, I can't say shit. Mm-hmm. Because whatever you feel, you know, the Jordan effect was different. The Jordan effect was everything and all encompassing. This was pre-social media. This is pre-everything. This nigga was a god. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was different. That experience was crazy. But this, tangibly, on the court, skill-wise, production-wise, points, numbers, effect, longevity, just everything about it. And then his off-the-court shit, the way he's been, I don't know who Olivia Pope this nigga's life, but ain't shit, ain't a blemish.
Everybody talk about what he. Everybody know he does this. Everybody niggas.
No, you don't.
Show me the picture.
Show me the tweet, nigga. Show me something.
Somebody in that space. Somebody, you got to give me something real. Because everybody always got something to say. The Sharon Reed stuff back in the day and all stuff. But somebody got to give me something tangible.
You can't with LeBron. You can't.
Am I wrong for saying that? You got to give me something a little bit more tangible to just be like, Sharon, yo, we heard this or whatever.
All of us wanted to fuck Sharon Reed. What is he talking about? Everybody loved Sharon Reed back in the day. What's we talking about? I wouldn't even fault that man for taking Sharon Reed up top. We all love Sharon Reed back in the day.
12.
It was one video. I remember, I don't know if y'all remember, this was back when YouTube first started. He was in the club with Fat Al and them.
Yeah.
And he was like drunk a little bit. I ain't seen that video since, dog. They wiped the internet. You can't find him. LeBron is in a different stratosphere. So 40,000 points is he is solidified himself.
Three kids at home.
Yeah.
Say what you want to say about Bronny. It was a lot of that talk this week or whatever. You know, who was it? Oh no, that was last week with Jack. Mm-hmm. Steven Jackson, whatever, mm-hmm. you know. But it's like, it's just you got three kids at home. Everybody's happy. You got a wife at home. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you can't, at least that part. The off the court shit, you got to kind of be like, all right. You know what I'm saying? You know.
And then on the court, his best numbers ever in the history of the game. So, yeah. I mean, it ain't shit you can say. It ain't shit you can say bad about LeBron. Man.
So when the show was done, Dev is going to proceed to say bad shit about LeBron.
I'm not. You can't.
By the way, this motherfucker.
You can't at this point. If you're saying bad shit about LeBron at this point, you're hating.
You're kind of hating, but yeah.
At this point, you're a hater.
But Jordan, I mean, to me, I still say Jordan's the goal. I mean, I think
you got 40,000 points, dog.
But I say it in the space of, again, I'm with you. Like, you can't sit there and shit on what Bron and dumb. I mean, like the nigga's 35 going on 40 and really still out here playing in young
man's 39.
Guy.
I'm sorry.
I meant to say 39. And he's playing a young man's game.
Yeah.
And he's playing it on their level. Now, he got his nights that he's off because he's 39. Mm-hmm. I mean, but,
Yeah. Yeah, everything about it is amazing. The fact that he's doing this at 39 is amazing.
And nobody, I mean, and we said that we thought he was going to be good. A lot of people said that, but you know, I say it all the time. You know, going to watch the kids' high school games, you know what I'm saying, and things like that. You just didn't think that he would be 39 at 40,000 mm-hmm. points and, what, four rings and all the other shit or whatever. I mean, just being honest, I personally didn't think.
He ain't said nothing, but he grew up. It was that's where he from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we from Akron, right?
Yeah. So they grew up in it.
So we went to like rival high schools.
Okay. So y'all did kind of did y'all kind of like not like
y'all went to high school?
Yeah, we went to Hoban.
So we seen it up front. Okay. You know, we seen it.
The Hummers in front of the barbershop.
I know. You know. They're like. Celebrities coming to the like games and all that stuff, man. So we seen it all front row.
Yeah.
Man? So mm-hmm. so yeah, man. So I mean, did I know that he'd be like this? No, but I'm not shocked.
You feel like something was there, yeah, but yeah, not yeah. not 40,000 points yeah, in the yeah, exactly. leading score of all time.
40,000 points is crazy, bro. That is crazy. Mm-hmm. That is this is insane, man.
For a guy who would pass off the game winning shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I saw. That's a whole other debate for another day. All right, man. Yeah. So like I said, so DMST1says@yahoo.com. Questions, comments, concerns, feedback, all the stuff like that or whatever. We'll be back next Sunday with a show, 6 o'clock. So we'll be back at our normal time of probably 6:30, yeah. even though it's 6 o'clock because everybody was on time today. It was 5:30. Dev was like, they just pulling up. Playboy was just finishing my haircut. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're like, oh, they pulling up. I'm like, oh, shit. All right. Well, they on time today. All right. But we'll catch y'all next week, man. It may be cloudy today, but the sun will come out tomorrow, and it's going to be a very beautiful day tomorrow. Outside and enjoy the sun tomorrow. I'm thinking of doing something on the grill tomorrow.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So as long as you are here.
Leave it to a nigga to grill when it's over 60 degrees.
Bro. Oh, definitely.
I did it.
Definitely, man. So as long as you are here under the sun, live your life to the best of your motherfucking ability, man. I am DJ Brainstorm for you and all social media. That is DJ Brainstorm, the number 4, the letter
U. Better not step out cars like Unk, boy. You better
not get that hip replacement.
Oh, God. Or pick the right one.
Right. He got the BBL hip replacement.
Yeah, yeah. What's her name? Oh, you shut the fuck up. What's her name? Oh, my God. That fucked up the ending of the show. What's her name? Light skin. She be Miss B Nasty. All right, go ahead. That's
We out of here, y'all.
He got the Miss B Nasty hips.
Peace.
We out of y'all. Peace, y'all.
Peace. See y'all.